A production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Internet's on, and welcome all the internet listeners. Welcome guests. Blah, blah, blah. Turn off your cell phones. Secretary, call the roll. Blah, blah, blah. It's a technical term.
Representatives Cronin.
Here.
Frerichs. Hoffman.
Here.
Kopp.
Here.
Olson.
Here.
Shrimp.
Here.
Sly. Sorensen.
Yes.
Street.
Here.
Van Gerpen.
Here.
Verschio.
Here.
Bannerman.
Here.
Bruner.
Here.
Mr. Chairman, we have a quorum.
Thank you. Approval of the previous minutes. Motion by Street, second by Shrimp. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed no. Motion carried. We've just got two bills on today, but there's about six of us that are going to be in and out with other bills to other committees, so you'll have to kind of just bear in mind, and if we have to hold something over below the line to get a vote, too many are missing, we can do that. But with that, first on our docket this morning is Senate Bill 40, an act to revise the financial assurance requirements for responding to accidental releases of chemical or biological or leaching agents from certain permitted mines. Other proponents?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, my name is Steve Perner, Secretary of the Department of Environment and Natural Resources. This bill comes to you from DENR. The chairman read the title. It's a lengthy title. We refer to this in the department very simply as the mining spill bond. I kind of try to keep it simple. This bill was originally passed by the 1989 legislature, and it was passed because at that time we kind of had the second gold mining rush, if you will, in the Black Hills. We had all these, the price of gold was increasing rapidly. There was new technology that was developed to mine that gold, basically called open pit heap leach mining. Instead of doing underground mining like Homestake had done for years, the companies were now able to come in and basically excavate the ore in a large pit, crush the gold-bearing ore into relatively small pieces, dump it in a huge pile with an impervious liner underneath. They would sprinkle that pile then with a cyanide leach solution. As that leach solution would trickle down through the pile, it would put the gold into solution. The solution would be collected at the bottom of the pile and then processed to remove the gold. So there was really two public concerns with this new kind of gold mining in the Black Hills back in the 80s. For one was the open pits themselves. The second concern was with this leach solution. What if there was a spill or a leak because it did contain cyanide? To address that second concern, the legislature passed passed 456B-20.1, which is the bill we're proposing to a law we're proposing to amend in Senate Bill 40. You'll see on the second page that the original bill, as it stands today, had a minimum spill bond of $25,000 for any company that was using a leach solution and a maximum of $500,000. We're proposing to amend that to $1 million, raise that cap, and reduce, basically repeal the minimum because we've never used that. The only mining company, or back when this was first passed, all the mining companies that were doing heap leach mining complied with this particular law. And I should point out that this bond is separate and distinct from the reclamation bond. Mining companies also have to post a reclamation bond, but that's a separate bond from the spill bond. Now today, the only mining company that's still heap leaching is Wharf Resources. They're the only ones that have to comply with this law today. Their spill bond was originally set at about $300,000. I think $298,000 was the exact amount. Each year, that bond is reviewed by the Board of Minerals and the Environment, and we apply an inflationary factor to it. We usually follow the construction cost index. Over the years, just those inflationary increases have now bumped it up against that $500,000 cap. So the Board of Water Management are the ones that suggested to the department that we bring forward this piece of legislation, increase that cap so we can keep that bond at current levels. You'll say, well, how did you get $1 million? Well, we took that same inflationary factor. We applied it to the $500,000, and over the years, we get about $900,000 in today's value, and so we rounded that up to $1 million. I should also point out that the only other mining company that we know about that could be impacted by this particular piece of legislation is the PowerTech operation. If you remember during our department overview, we talked about they were doing exploratory drilling at Fall River and Custer counties for uranium. If their drilling pans out and that project proceeds, they'll be using some kind of a leaching agent as well, because they're proposing potentially what's called an in situ leach mine. So this bill could, if you pass it, have an impact on that particular operation as well. Mr. Chairman, the House or the Senate passed this bill 33-0. I guess we would ask you for your favorable consideration as well. And with that, I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you. I'm sure you'll get at least 33 votes here, too.
Need a couple more.
Okay. Are there other proponents? Are there opponents to House Bill or Senate Bill 40? No opponents? Let's waive the rebuttal and go right to committee questions. Any questions? Representative Kopp.
Answer my questions for the gentleman that was just up there.
Yes, sir.
My question is, how does this affect small operators that may be looking for uranium, for example? Do they have to post the same insurance of $1 million as large operators? How would this impact them, I guess?
Mr. Chairman, in state law, there's basically two different mine permits. There's a large-scale and a small-scale permit. I think anybody that was going to do a uranium deal, especially with a leaching agent, probably is going to fall into the large-scale category. The small-scale mine bond...
How much?
$2,500 is all they would be posting then. This would not impact a small-scale mine.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions? Seeing none, thank you, Secretary. We'll open to committee discussion and or action. Representative Vandeman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move to pass.
Second.
We have a motion to pass by Vandeman, second by Hoffman. Comments on that motion? No comments?
No comments.
Anybody else? Comments? No comments. Okay. The motion is due pass. All in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Cronin.
Aye.
Frericks.
Aye.
Hoffman.
Aye.
Kopp.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Shrimp.
Aye.
Sly. Sorensen.
Aye.
Street.
Aye.
Van Gerpen.
Aye.
Vercio.
Aye.
Vandeman.
Aye.
Bruner.
Aye. Motion carried unanimously. With that, Senate Bill 40 will go to the floor with a due pass motion. Representative Kopp, would you carry this on the House floor? Since you were the one that asked the question. I think this has a lot to do with your district. I think it'd be very appropriate for you. With that, we'll move on to Senate Bill 69, an act to revise the requirement for a fire equipment shop. Are there proponents to Senate Bill 69? Welcome, Mr. Secretary.
Morning, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, my name is Bill Even. I'm your Secretary of Agriculture. I'm here this morning to respectfully ask your support of Senate Bill 69, entitled An Act to Revise the Requirement for a Fire Equipment Shop in South Dakota. As Secretary Perner also indicated in his testimony, this bill has been passed out of the Senate Ag Committee and off Senate floor, and it's over here in the House now to be heard for the first time. I think the best way of explaining the situation here really revolves around what we as a state and you as legislators are all faced with this year, and that's and we've got a difficult budget year facing us. And when the governor asked the department and all the agencies for that matter to take a look at what we could do in state government that would allow us to continue to provide services but at the same time try to save some money, this was an idea that we came up with here this fall. We sat down with the State Fire Chiefs Association and the Volunteer Firefighters Association here in South Dakota and kind of put together this proposal. And the negotiations with them were critical in even having this bill in front of you today. Because at the end of the day, if we did not have support from the firefighters in our state, we weren't going to move forward with this. But those discussions proved fruitful, and also all of us realized the realities we're facing here financially. And we came forward with this bill, and I'll just go through a little bit about what we plan to do with it. The bill is very simple. It essentially strikes one word. It strikes the shall operate a fire equipment shop to may, making it a permissive on part of the department. We currently operate a fire equipment shop in the prison in Springfield, South Dakota. This shop fixes between 8 to 10, refurbishes 8 to 10 federal surplus equipment vehicles per year, and also does some mechanical repair work on some of those vehicles as they get rotated through. What our intent is with this bill is to close the fire equipment shop in Springfield, South Dakota. We had one of the people that's working there retired in December, and so we have the opportunity to hire a new individual should the hiring freeze be lifted. We are going to hire a new statewide training officer with that position who will be located in our fire shop in Rapid City. This wasn't an easy choice, but it's a choice that allows us to put about $60,000 of this shop subsidy back into the general fund and keep about $60,000 of general fund monies that we'll be able to use for this position of fire training officer, who will be able to go out across the state and provide the training for the firefighters that we need. We currently have around 350 fire departments in South Dakota. Of that, the Department of Agriculture has contracts with 166 of them. And these contracted departments then come and work with the state when we have fires. They can work with forest fires, work with grassland fires from across the state. And the advantage of that is it allows these departments to also drive a revenue stream. It makes them income while they're working for the state helping us fight fires. And so it's a real symbiotic relationship that the state has with these departments. Another function that we are going to continue to keep is the ability for fire departments in the state to still acquire federal surplus equipment. Essentially, if there's much like the state surpluses out vehicles on state auctions and so forth, the federal government does the same. And if you're going to use, an old military pickup, an old Forest Service pickup that we want to convert into a grass rig, those vehicles will still be able to be secured, and the state of South Dakota will help the fire departments do that. We will maintain the records because the title does stay in the federal government's hands, so there has to be a constant monitoring of this. And so we're going to continue to provide that service. The one service that we will no longer provide is essentially the inmate labor that's going into refurbishing these fire trucks along with the state subsidy that was paying for that refurbishment. You know, frankly, what it will boil down to is we'll help the fire departments find the surplus vehicles they need, continue to track those vehicles, but the departments will now be they'll be responsible for providing their own labor for upgrading these vehicles. Another function that we intend to keep, and this is important, and I think Representative Kopp probably has the greatest grasp of how this works, but these firefighters that are trained in these 166 departments that are contracted with us, they, or those firefighters, have to be certified at multiple levels, trained at multiple levels in order to work on these fires. So if we have a forest fire in the Black Hills, as you know, fire
recognizes no jurisdictional boundaries. It can be on private land, it can be on state land, it can be on federal land. And in order to get federal reimbursement for working on a federal fire, you have to have essentially all of your training completed so that the firefighters that we're using are working there competently and working there safely. One of the functions that we will continue to provide is tracking of the training that we're providing. We have there's a new federal system. It's an incident qualification system that all the firefighters in the United States now use. We've been transitioning over to that in the past 18 months, and we're going to continue to provide that back office support for all the fire departments so that when we get the training completed for these folks, we're able to track that training and be able to certify to both us and the federal government that the individuals that are working on contract are indeed qualified and safe. And that's, another mutually agreeable benefit. The state and the federal government is able to use and pay for these volunteers, and in turn, they're allowed to drive a revenue stream then that they can take back to their local departments. I guess the tagline on this, if you may, is that we're switching from investing in iron and investing in people. I served 15 years as a volunteer firefighter and EMT on our local fire department in Humboldt. And so I understand what this means from the ground up. And one of the constant needs as I watched the fire service change in my years from when I started in 88 up to 2003 was the switch on emphasis from, always buying the latest bell and whistle equipment, which you do need good equipment. But the switch was profound, and we switched over to really training the individuals to really work that equipment competently and safely. And that's our goal in this. I don't know if Mr. Steve Willard is the lobbyist for the Firefighters Association here in South Dakota. He is signed in to testify in favor of this bill. However, he has another bill up in another committee. Both Mr. Willard and the representative of the State Fire Chiefs Association testified in favor of this bill in the Senate, and Mr. Willard wanted to make sure that I relayed that information to you today because he wasn't sure if he was going to be able to cover both committees at the same time. So with that, Mr. Chairman, that kind of walks through our intent with the bill. The bill still does allow us, if times get better and we want to take a look at this again, we still have the authority within the bill. Should the legislature appropriate money, we could continue to provide or reactivate this service. We've talked, we had some initial discussions with Western Dakota Tech in Rapid City to see if perhaps the tech school had an interest in developing a program with their students that could provide some of this automotive rehab work on these vehicles as well. I can't promise you anything will come of that, but we're trying to cover the waterfront and trying to provide options for the fire services out there as we make this change. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I would stand by for questions.
Thank you. Who are you looking for, Ms. Page? Found him. Okay, are there other proponents? Seeing none, other opponents? Opponents to House or Senate Bill 69? Seeing none, we will open to questions.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Van Gerpen.
Secretary Even, can I ask you a couple questions? In the fire shop that was at the Mike Durfee State Prison here a couple months ago, there was an escape with an inmate driving one of those vehicles. I understand that that vehicle went through two or three gates, which I'm sure were somewhat severely damaged. And then as the truck was taken, I believe the direction was across the state line to Nebraska and then on east, then there was some damage to that particular truck. My question is, while that program, your program, was under the purview there in Springfield, Mike Durfee State Prison, the responsibility for the costs of those gates and to the truck, did that fall under your department, or were those costs incurred by the Department of Corrections?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Van Gerpen, I am not sure, but as I recall, we sent a crew and a in a tow truck or a haul truck down to Omaha to recover the stolen fire truck. And we split those costs with the Department of Corrections for that. So as far as repairing the gates, though, I'm not sure if the Department of Corrections paid for that, but I can check with Secretary Rice and Department of Corrections.
A follow-up, Mr. Chairman. There's more to my question than is coming forward here, but who was responsible for the fire truck repair shop? Was that your department or corrections department? How is that delineated, I guess is the word I want.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Van Gerpen, the Department of Agriculture, let me start over. One of the missions of the Department of Corrections is to provide rehabilitation for criminals. And shops such as this and other, you know, Pheasant Land Industries at the old Penn Farm near Sioux Falls are examples of that rehabilitation effort. One of the other people that I sat down with and had extensive discussions with was Secretary Reich at the Department of Corrections when we talked about this. There's currently about, on average, around 3 inmates that work in that shop space, and those inmates and the Department of Agriculture, we work inside the prison setting. So the actual, everything is under control of the Department of Corrections. We have had 2 FTEs there in the Springfield area, and they were responsible for essentially overseeing shop operations and working with the inmates and having them work on the different parts of the repairs. When I asked Secretary Rice, I said, you know, we have to be careful of unintended consequences here. You know, we don't want, you know, in my management of the Department of Agriculture and trying to, as I said, save money and yet still provide service, I said, we want to make sure we don't have an unintended consequence where we end up jeopardizing your ability to do rehabilitation. And he said, well, don't worry about that. He said, we can use the square footage of that fire equipment repair shop and actually have more inmates working in rehabilitation after you leave than we currently are because of the size of the facility. And so I know the Department of Corrections has put together a white paper for that should this bill go through. I don't have a copy of that today. I don't know if it's a public document, but I think that's maybe where we're driving here is, you know, what does this mean for corrections? What does this mean for agriculture? I'm comfortable, and so is Secretary Reich, that we can accomplish, both of us can still accomplish our goals, and it's just different, I guess, than maybe what we've done in the past. As I said, investing in the firefighters of the state and people rather than investing in, 10 vehicles a year, used vehicles.
Yeah, one more question, Mr. Chairman.
Certainly.
So the trainer, now that this position you're talking about, that individual go to different, like, volunteer fire departments across the state and provide training for them?
Mr. Chair? Yes, Representative Van Gerpen. A number of years ago, there was a position, it was called the East River Training Officer position, and I'm not quite sure where it was located at the time. That position was funded by the federal government, and it went away. And there were a number of volunteer fire departments that asked the state to step in and fill that funding void. The state did not do that. This person, you know, the Wildland Fire Division has jurisdiction statewide for dealing with rangeland and grass fires, and so we feel that our training responsibility is also one that is statewide. And so, yes, they will be going out across the state to provide that training. We trained in conjunction with the Volunteer Association. We helped train, the number is nearly 1,800 firefighters last year alone.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Secretary.
Other questions? I have just a question for Secretary. You talk about possibly a little bit shift in mission here. The 8 to 10 trucks, can you tell us what kind of a savings that was to the local fire departments?
Mr. Chairman, as the system operated, we would help the departments get the surplus equipment. Title of that equipment is actually retained by the federal government. So it's kind of like a lease, as you were, with no cost. So someone's responsible for keeping track of that, make sure, you know, someone isn't using it to go feed their cattle in the morning with that pickup, that it needs to be used for the purpose provided, and then it's returned when it's no longer used or no longer needed. The fire departments would bring in, you know, pony up the financial portion of putting the parts on the trucks, and we would provide the labor and a number of other supplies through a state subsidy, as well as using using inmates and using Department of Agriculture employees. So the specific dollar amount, Mr. Chairman, I don't have that, but that gives you kind of an idea on how that worked. You know, essentially now this equipment would, you'd work on it maybe in your local community. I just use a personal example. You know, on our farm shop, we do work for our local fire department in Humboldt and bring the trucks and equipment out there. The department buys the parts. Our shop provides the labor, and the money stays in the local community.
Been there, done that. So my question, to be a follow-up, is Homeland Security has put a lot of money in local fire departments the past several years. But we have equipment, a lot of trucks, personal equipment, whatnot. Do you see that kind of continuing, and will that kind of replace this somewhat?
Mr. Chairman, you know, I've personally been involved in a number of those grants. They started even before 9/11, and the Department of Homeland Security, the federal government has put millions of dollars out there annually in the form of grants to the states and for state firefighting. Having been out of the fire service now for a few years, I'm not sure what the level of those existing grants were, but I do know there was an upsurge in activity after 9/11 again. So there's been money at the federal level that's come into this system. I don't know how that actually pans out to replace any of this one-to-one.
Okay. Thank you. Representative Urshio.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You might have covered this, and my brain might not have wrapped around it. I don't know. The work, if we pass this, the work will be done at your shop in Rapid City if the tech school does not go along with it, or does the tech school, the work's going to get done somewhere, no matter what, I would assume, correct?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Urshio, The state of South Dakota will no longer be in the business of refurbishing federal surplus equipment to be used for firefighting. The prison would do refurb about 8 to 10 vehicles a year, and that function will cease. It's our intention. While the bill does not say that, that's why I spent so much time explaining where I want to go with this as Secretary of Ag, that our intent is to take the two people that we had working in that shop and convert it over into a training mission. And then those individuals will be located, I guess, housed out of the Rapid City, our Rapid City location. Still unknown where the state training officer would be located. Perhaps Pierre, they could be located really anywhere. They travel quite a bit. So we'll provide the red card, which is the incident qualification system. We're going to continue to provide that and maintain those training records. We provide aviation training. And right now our aviation officer is also doubling as our training officer. And with putting five single-engine air tankers on in the year, the workload just gets too great. So this allows us to do a better job of the training and do a better job on the aviation side as well. And but I think the definite answer to your question again is that we no longer intend to physically refurbish these used federal surplus equipment trucks. That duty would fall to the local fire departments. We can affect, you know, we have the potential to impact over 350 fire departments in a given year with a training officer, where we only have the potential of touching 8 to 10 fire departments fixing a truck.
Thank you.
Other questions? Representative Kopp.
My question is on the vehicles, who will acquire these trucks? Now, will the state continue to acquire trucks, and will they go pick them up?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Kopp answers yes.
Okay, and then, if I may,
go ahead.
Follow up. Excuse me. So when they pick the truck up in the condition that it's in, however, whatever that may be, as I understand it, then it will be delivered to the fire department in that condition, and then it's up to the fire department to go through the truck and do whatever it is that needs to be done.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Cobb, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions? Seeing none, yes, Representative Ferrix.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question for Mr. Secretary. Would it be possible that you could continue the fire equipment shop and then share some time of the workers to still provide the training, and especially if, you know, the shop right now presently is located obviously east in East River, South Dakota, and still allow that accessibility for a training officer on this side of the state, or, you know, on the east side of the state as well.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Ferrix, the way that this came out was really part of a budget discussion, and in order to continue to provide service to the volunteer fire departments, but perhaps in a different manner and still save some money, we view it as the only way we can actually get this accomplished is by ceasing those type of repair operations. There's about $120,000 general fund subsidy that goes into this operation annually. We'd be able to put half of that back into the general fund, and actually it's in the budget that's in front of you now. It was in the governor's initial budget, and it's in his proposed revised budget. And so that money's back in the general fund right now. The budget office and the governor did allow my request to keep roughly half of that money to allow us to be able to fund the training officer position and the travel that would be required on that, and help pay for some of the training. Like, for example, last year we did a comprehensive 2-day wildland fire exercise over in Canton, South Dakota, down in Newton Hill State Park. There needed to be some controlled burns done there, and so we were able to provide that on-hands training opportunity in conjunction with the National Guard and the volunteer firefighters there in the eastern part of the state. But it becomes an incredible balancing act with the department to manage all of our other operations and then pull people out of that to do the training. This takes us a step further, and we have an individual that's dedicated to that training. But it is not our intent to try to continue to do both with less money.
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Representative Van Gerpen.
So, in essence, if a local fire department wants to purchase a fire truck currently that's been refurbished at the Mike Durfee State Prison, would that cost be significantly cheaper than if they purchase one that is refurbished somewhere else? Is it going to cost our local fire departments more money to purchase trucks now?
Mr. Bruner, Mr. Van Gerpen, the Department of Agriculture has gone out and located the surplus federal equipment for fire departments, and there's essentially, you know, there's actually an inventory of some older vehicles down there in Springfield right now just sitting in a lot. As departments would come forward and say, we want a particular vehicle, you kind of look through the pile that's down there of some of the older vehicles, pick one out, and then the inmates would work on it, and then we would send it back out to the department. Again, the title still was retained by the federal government on that vehicle. So there's really no one buying the vehicle, as it were. The departments were responsible for paying for the supplies that would go into the vehicle. We would provide the labor. Essentially what now is we're pulling the labor portion out of this and essentially, you know, a lot of the overhead, and then replacing it with the training opportunities. And as I indicated earlier, we sat down with the Volunteer Firefighters Association. We sat down with the State Fire Chiefs Association and talked with them at length. And they looked at it as, you know what, we realize the budget situation the state's in, and we view this as a good compromise. We're able to still get training at an enhanced level than we've ever had before. And in return, we're going to give up the ability to fix, you know, less than a dozen old federal surplus trucks in a given year. And they said, facing the situation we're at, we're better off doing a deal like this, which we think is a good deal, than to actually do no deal at all and perhaps lose everything altogether.
Other questions? We have a little theory. It has to do with questions and discussion will expand to fill the allotted time. I hope you don't have to be for another hour.
I was wishing there was another bill on the docket.
Other questions? If not, we'll close the questions and go to discussion and or action.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Van Gerpen.
I really have mixed emotions about this particular bill because I know it means a lot to the local fire departments to receive a truck that has been refurbished and they can purchase a good vehicle at a lesser cost. At the same time, I know that there's been a huge increase in the amount of training that these local fire departments have to face. And my concern there is that in time, the requirements that we're placing upon these local fire departments is going to hinder the recruitment of volunteer fire departments. And I think that there are some issues we need to address in the future regarding that. But in light of those two positions, I would move that Senate Bill 69 be sent forward with a due pass recommendation.
I'm not going to accept your motion because you prefaced it with remarks. Right. You've got a habit of doing that. We're going to break you of that here before this session's over. But I would certainly entertain a motion from somebody else to do that. Representative Vanneman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move due pass on Senate Bill 69.
Motion by Vanneman, second by Sly. Comments on that? Representative Van Gerpen, anything more? Okay. Thank you for your comments, so I appreciate that. Representative Vanneman? I'm sorry.
That's okay. I agree with Representative Van Gerpen. I do think this, you know, it's probably a good deal. I like the idea of, you know, that we're investing in people versus iron, and I think the opportunity to train these firemen and that is a really good deal. So, and I think they'll be willing to work with these fire departments to not have them, you know, incur a lot of extra costs for those vehicles and that. And we still may be able to implement this at some point. So I think it's a good bill.
Other comments? Representative Frericks.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I did some visiting with local volunteer departments over the weekend and kind of feeling out their perception on this, and it seemed like to me, you know, they were a little bit concerned yet though on the amount of fundraising they might have to do should they need one of these pieces of equipment in the future. It sounded like to them that the training opportunities were fairly readily available. It's a matter of trying to find time for their volunteer individuals to get the chance to go to the training opportunity. So I guess I would have some concern there, and I'm going to vote against this bill. I realize the intention is there. I visited with the secretary and his staff before about this as well. But I think at this time, I don't quite see, you know, if they want to cut the essentially the state subsidy for this in half, I don't see why they couldn't still operate the shop, provide this opportunity. And it sounds like they've already been able to have some diverse roles in their trainers. And so I would think they could probably find some ways throughout the department to fill that need if there's so need to be for the training. So I urge to oppose this due pass.
Other comments? Representative Sly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I see this as an opportunity also that in the local communities that if they are working on the fire trucks that can generate income for some of the people within the community that are have the skills to be able to do the body work or whatever that might be need to be done with it, or whether it's the mechanic part of it. Thank you.
Thank you. I just make one final comment. You know, Secretary laid it out very well on the changing role of our fire departments. Probably 15 years ago around that neighborhood, our department acquired a couple of trucks. I don't think they were surplus trucks, but service body trucks, and we took them apart in my shop and painted and added a lot of equipment, rebuilt and made pretty nice brush rigs out of them. And one of the things that that did was certainly build a lot of camaraderie. But now there's young guys coming on the fire department, and there seems to be, at least in our department in Little Town of Nisland, a lot of funds available to buy this equipment. So that camaraderie has really been lost But they've been able to gain it in other ways with the training, and they train a lot. And I'll tell you what, when I look at the equipment, it's like I just go along for the ride anymore on fire calls because, you know, between the foam, we've got extraction and, you know, equipment that I wouldn't have a clue how to operate and whatnot. So these guys have built their own camaraderie, you know, us old guys kind of, you know, we did it our way. We built the trucks, and we went out and sprayed the wet stuff on the hot stuff, and that's what we did. But anymore, I think our departments are called on for so many other things, and I think the training is really essential because, for one thing, the equipment, but also the level of responsibility has changed. When it comes to civil defense, our fire departments now are called on quite often, and so I think this is a good bill. I'm going to support it. I think it's a good direction to go, and the only comment I'd have is this training officer might be able to double with something else, perhaps like a milk inspector or something. They could cut the budget there, maybe save a few dollars. With that, if there's no other comments, Representative Cobb.
I'm going to support the bill. There's probably a fine line between training and equipment insofar as what's more important. With the complexity of the equipment that's coming out today with large fire organizations, I think training probably, in my opinion, would be a higher priority than the equipment. And so from this standpoint, I think the Department of Ag is probably doing a better service to the volunteer fire departments by providing that end of the need. And the fire equipment itself, the fire departments really won't save or lose a whole lot of money by redoing it themselves anyway, because in the end, they paid the state so much to have the truck refurbed to begin with. And so the only difference now, as I see it, is that they're the ones that will be doing it on their own. And I think that Representative Sly is right, that a lot of this equipment will be refurbed in local shops and things like that. And it probably is a win-win situation for everybody. So I do support the bill.
Thank you. Seeing no other comments, the motion is due pass on Senate Bill 69. I'd ask Secretary to call the roll. All in favor, aye. Opposed, no.
Representatives Cronin?
Aye.
Frericks?
No.
Hoffman? Kopp?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Shrimp?
Aye.
Sly?
Aye.
Sorensen?
Aye.
Street?
Aye.
Van Gerpen?
Aye.
Verschio?
Aye.
Vanneman?
Aye.
Bruner?
Aye. Motion carried. We've got 11-1. Motion carried. Senate Bill 69 will go to the floor with a due pass. Representative Verschio, this looks like something you could handle. Thank you very much. With that, that clears our calendar. We have one other issue I don't think we're quite ready to do this morning, and I talked to some of you about it. We've got a possibility of a bill that we voted down, a carbon sequestration bill, that we might need to bring back with a hoghouse amendment. And the amendment will have to do with carbon sequestration, a pipeline. And I don't think we're ready to do that today, but Thursday we'll take that up at some point. And if you have questions, let me know. I'll try to get a copy of the amendment in your hands and all the information you need before that next committee meeting, so that you'll be well aware of what it's about. So with that, motion to adjourn would be in order. Motion by Olson, second by Vanneman. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. We are adjourned.